Sai che sola non ti lascio mai. Sei le mie gioie e tutti i miei guai. Io amo l'Inter.
Welcome back, brothers of the world. Hola, ciao, guten Tag, bonjour. This is the official Inter podcast in English. Welcome back, everybody. I am your host, Richard Hall, and the Inter podcast has returned at a very exciting time in the season. Serie A, the title, it looks possible, and we're here to talk about the game coming up against Empoli. I'll give you a rundown about this because I'm excited for this show, in particular because the game I'm going to be talking about, an old classic against Empoli. It was a very strange season for Inter, but an important season personally for me. So I want to talk about a game, the last game of the season in 2014-15. You may have blotted that one out a little bit from your memory. It wasn't one of our best, but it was a classic Inter game on the last day of the season against Empoli at home in San Siro. So we'll definitely be looking back on that one. It was really good fun. I was there for that one. It was absolutely brilliant. So picking that one out of my old locker, should we say, and we will certainly have a look. And then what else have we got for you? Well, obviously we need to preview that game. There will be a lot of games. It's the Easter period, so all the games will be on Saturday and Monday, of course. Inter play on the Monday night, and I want to just look over the teams, look at the previous fixture. Probably do that first, in fairness, and we'll have a good look and see what we can expect. And maybe I can build up a little bit of excitement there around that game. I personally am really, really counting now the days to the Scudetto because I'm really hopeful that Inter have got it in us. Well, we've got enough. Surely we have. We have. I know we have, and I know that you'll be thinking that at home. Also as well, I want to look back at something that happened around this time in history, and I'm going to take you back to, obviously, I know you need to suggest basically different eras of history for me, of course. I've told you this before. Just message me, hit me on the DMs on X or on Spotify or anything, any socials that you want to. But I'm going to go back to March of 1990. A special period, of course, as I've mentioned before, for me, where Inter played Atalanta, and just around the time of recording, all those years ago, many, many, many moons ago now, and that we smashed Atalanta by 7-2. We actually scored 8 goals that game, but I'll talk to more about that later. It was a real classic, so we want to bring back some memories. And it's always good when we can go and beat the boys from Bergamo. But talking of teams in blue, we're going to get on with the show. And we're going to talk about our game coming up against Empoli. Well, we are back, as I mentioned, to talk about this game. And look, for any Inter fan at this moment in time, you must be excited because in the league, okay, look, it was unlucky, unfortunate. We can procrastinate over the game against Atletico, but there's no need, it's happened. Narrow penalty defeat, and our attention now, because of that, turns to Serie A. Now, Serie A, bearing in mind, we've not lost in Serie A since the 27th of September 2023, when we lost to Sassuolo at home. After that, we have been pretty monumental. We have drawn only 4 games. 2-2 to Bologna, 1-1 against Juventus, 1-1 against Genoa, and of course the last game, 1-1 against Napoli. The rest of it has been goals, 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 and we are absolutely flying in the league. I think it's fair to say that our expectations are that we are going to win the league this season. Now, at the moment, we have 76 points with 9 games to go. And Milan have 62, where Juventus follow slightly behind on 59. So we are well clear. That doesn't mean we can take our foot off the gas. And so we have to really look at our run of form and hope that we can kick on from where we were against Napoli. The game against Napoli, you know, look, a one all draw on many, many circumstances, especially when you just had a tough game that's gone all the way to extra time and the penalties against Atletico, and you can't really get tougher than that. So when you look at the way that the team have performed, I think you have to give them credit. I think that that draw was certainly not a bad situation for us. And we can move on from now. Now, we're playing an Empoli team in completely different form. Bearing in mind that Empoli have lost their last three games. They lost 1-0 to Cagliari. They lost to Milan on the 10th of March, 1-0. And they only lost narrowly 1-0 to Cagliari, 1-0 to Milan, and 1-0 to Bologna. And when you think that Bologna are sitting in fourth, that's not actually too bad. Good recent results for them. Before that, they actually beat Sassuolo 3-2. But it's not looking fantastic for them at the moment. I think that Inter... I don't know why it is, I seem to have been to so many games against Empoli. It seems like every season I see Inter versus Empoli. Not this season, however. I will be out, funnily enough, next time for the game against Cagliari, which is coming up. I'm really hoping we could potentially win a title there. Empoli at this moment in time then sit in 17th place. They have 25 points. They're really trying to avoid the drop. They've got Cagliari, who I've just mentioned, with 26 points, one above them, and Udinese and Verona on 26 Verona and 27 Udinese respectively. They're being chased by Frosinone and Sassuolo, who've got 23, 24 points. So it's a real dogfight down there. If we take the fact that Salernitana are already gone, it is going to be a battle, really. So we can't expect to go over and walk all over them. Games against Empoli are always oddly tight. So there is a word of caution there. But I think with Inter's, the team that they have, and that we have, we shouldn't have a problem against this. So, where does that leave us in the grand scale of things approaching the game? Well, look, we can't predict the lineups, but we can look at what the Italian media are saying and where the predictions are. We know that Aldero will start in goal. Obviously, Jan Sommer picked up an injury on the international break. It'll be good to see him get some minutes, but we have to remember just how amazing Jan Sommer has been this season. So any time that he's not potentially starting is always going to be a little bit of a worry, just because he's been so superb this season. So it looks like Pavard, Acerbi and Bastoni will look at the back three, whilst Darmian will start with DiMarco on either of the wing-backs, with Barella, Calhanoglu and Mkhitaryan in the middle, and with our main front two of Thuram and Lautaro. Now, that's subject to change, of course. I don't know what's going to happen between now, from the time of recording, and the game on Monday night, but we will line up against a squad where we think, okay, we need to look out for the likes of Zurakowski, of course, and there's more for Empoli as well. You know, we can't be naive here when we go into that game. Pizzella's had a good season. Gyasi, again, another good player. Kolovenko, you can't write off. So there's players there who can hurt us, but I think that Inter, if we can look at that team, I think that it will be a lot stronger in that sense. But again, we've had a lot of people there who've been on the international break as well. So, you know, playing for their country. So it will be difficult. So we really need the fans behind us on Monday night, and another win there will take us one step closer. I believe in it. I know you guys do as well. So it's going to be a really electric evening at San Siro for that one. I'll definitely be hoping that we can walk away one step closer to that second star. So, talking of Empoli, we are going to come back after a little break, and we're going to talk about an Inter Classic, where it's Inter 4, Empoli 3. We are back. Yes, we are back. And it is a game that I wouldn't say would live in infamy, but it does for me. I'm going to take you back a little bit, because 2014-15 season wasn't great for Inter. I'm not going to sugarcoat this any more than I possibly can. You were probably there. There was we are grateful for where we are today, but you know, we were there thick and thin when we finished eighth that season. Quarterfinals of the Coppa Italia, round of 16 Europa League. We've had better days. However, look, it wasn't a good time. But at that point, for me, I was working a lot with Inter and some associated press, should we say, in, with naming nameless, in the UK and in the States. And I was very lucky at the time to interview the likes of Mancini that season, even Perisic, of course some of the older boys, of course Rob Bergamy, etc. But it was more around that team. Spent a lot of time there, a lot of time. And it was on that last day of the season where, even though it was reporting on this game, it was one where, you know, we were slumped in eighth. Well, we'd end up in eighth place. We had a good win away in Rome. Against Lazio that season. I was also at that game, actually. That was an absolute cracker. And yeah, we'd beaten Lazio 2-1 with Hernandez actually getting two. We'd then lost to Juventus and we'd lost to Genoa 3-2, which we really shouldn't have lost. And then we came into the last game of the season. And this is why this game is crazy. So, we are, at this moment in time, going into half-time, 0-0. Mauro Icardi is looking like he could be Capocannonieri, but he's not. He's not done anything. No, none of the team have done anything. And you look at this, and I'm going to take you through this. I mean, look, that season in the end, he would finish as joint Capocannonieri with Luca Toni. And I think that most Nerazzurri fans in the league were, surprised that we actually had something that. To give him to smile about on that final day, because we did miss out in the Europa League despite beating Empoli, in a crazy game on that Sunday night. So, you know, look, that it was so crazy in one sense, because Tevez was also, Carlos Tevez of Juventus was also one goal behind Toni before the game. He'd missed a penalty, I think, earlier in the day. He did miss a penalty while Toni had scored. So, you know, Icardi had it all to do. You know, he was sat on 20 goals, and you know, Inter obviously wanted to try and do that. It was a game where, considering Inter's season, you thought they put on the show for the fans. But at 0-0 at half time, and remember that it's 0-0 at half time. Inter had produced some intricate passing. They were controlling the tempo. They'd been largely ineffective up front. But what happened next was somewhat incredible, as the second half just erupted. Rodrigo Palacio and Icardi both got on the score sheet before Empoli replied with two goals of their own to make it 2-2. Levelling up in 9 minutes, and then Marcelo Brozovic and Icardi struck again. Bang, bang, into 4-2 up before Empoli made it 4-3 before the end. The second half of goals was remarkable, and it ended up leaving the Argentine, obviously Icardi, as the top scorer, joint top scorer, and he was the youngest one since Paolo Rossi in 1978 to do that. It didn't always work out brilliantly, because, you know, Sampdoria survived a late scare as Parma equalised with 2 minutes to go, so they hung on and booked themselves in the place in the Europa League. But for Icardi, that achievement was one quite incredible for his, you know, for his age. So that in its sense was somewhat incredible. Being at that game, the atmosphere was so bizarre, because it went from almost a disappointed, cozy, you know, no one really that bothered, expected, a bit disappointed, but not really, to just elation, and it was almost a microcosm of Inter's season, showing potential, but then absolutely showing even more ability before completely throwing things away almost. But yeah, it was a game that many of you probably remember. It's probably a time in Inter's history that, you know, we appreciate now why we, you know, we enjoy what our team is doing so much now. So much so, because what our team is doing is absolutely spectacular. And if you remember, you know, that team, you know, going up against Empoli, you know, it wasn't the worst team we've ever had, but it wasn't one of the ones that we've highlighted about and talked to so many times. But, you know, it's all part of our history. And the fact of, you know, Palacio, Icardi got two, like I said, Brozovic there. It was a game that, was one that I think we should remember, because it was an exceptional finish to the season. And if anybody has ever been to San Siro, you know, it doesn't matter. Sometimes, I mean, the attendance wasn't huge for this game, but it didn't matter because I remember that atmosphere, and the atmosphere was crazy. And that's sometimes a bit deceptive because we now are used to full stadiums all the time, but not that season, not all the time. But that was incredible. And for me, it was capped off a great season in the sense personally because of the involvement I had with Inter. It wasn't how I wanted the season to go, considering how much I was covering them. But it's strange for me to sit here now and think, wow, I can't believe how long ago that was. You know, it's 10, 11 years ago. And 10 years ago, sorry. And it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy how things just go and how quickly things move. But 4-3, we'd take that, wouldn't we? Would we take that on the weekend? Maybe not in that fashion, because I don't need a new heart right now, and that was a heart-in-mouth game, but I'd take the 3 points tomorrow. Now, talking of 3 points, next up, I'm talking about the game we faced against Atalanta, and that was an absolute cracker back in 1990. Well, we talked about the 2014-15 season, which cannot be called one of our glory seasons. It absolutely cannot. But I can now talk about one that was. Yeah, I mean, look, it might not have been as good as the season before. It certainly wasn't. We finished third in this one. You know, but we did win the Supercoppa Italiana. Top scorer that season, Jürgen Klinsmann. He got 13 goals. In all competitions, he got 15. Trapattoni, Giovanni Trapattoni, still the coach. And this side was, again, you know it, I'm boring you already if I tell you about this squad, but it was one of my favourites, including, you know, along with the obviously our title-winning squad of the season before. You know, this had the recently departed Andy Bremer, God rest his soul. Nicola Berti, Lothar Matthäus, Jürgen Klinsmann, Aldo Serena, here we go. Beppe Pereghi, Nicola Berti, Riccardo Ferri, Walter Zenger. It reels off, doesn't it? It reels off, and that kit. Just that kit. Anyway, before I get blurry eyed with my rose-tinted glasses and start watching videos of way back when, which is now what I'll probably do for the rest of the day, and have quite a lovely time doing it, my lad. I'm going to talk about this match. So Inter, what happened that season? So where we... The build-up to this game was funny because Inter had a really good result against Napoli. This was in February. They'd won 3-1 at home. But then annoyingly and frustratingly, I mean, look at the scores on that. Klinsmann, Bianchi, and then Careca. Who will ever forget Careca for Napoli? That was a 3-1 win at home. Then you look and we went away to Lazio and unfortunately lost 2-1. 0-0 against Hellas Verona after that. It wasn't great. But then that derby, which we talked about before here, but 3-1 against Milan, of course, with us technically being the away team, with Serena getting a double, Matthäus as well. And then came Atalanta. Now, bearing in mind this 50,000 in San Siro, and the reason, because we were doing the top tier before the Italian 90 World Cup, so it's under renovation. But Atalanta turned up with, listen, that side wasn't a bad side in those days. Atalanta had players who, you know, for me, I always remember this as being, I would say, one of the icons, because Atalanta, a lot of the younger viewers will know now, are obviously a brilliant team, of course. And, you know, we remember, especially in recent years, what they've done. But when you think back, you know, Atalanta went through a very long period of not being particularly fantastic. And, you know, the teams that they had, they'd flitted around the divisions, etc. But this team had some brilliant players in the team. People like Stromberg, Swedish international, and Claudio Caniggia, the electric Argentine. So there were no pushovers at all. So if we fast forward to here, I'm going to just take you through goal by goal because it was incredible. I mean, the first one is, I think what's so good about this, and when we look at it, is that you've got Bergamy scores first, then Mateus, then Baresi. So let's just take you through those. They happen on 6 minutes, 9 minutes, and 24 minutes. And then, okay, 3 minutes after Berti scores. Look, I mean, what a first. 4-0 up after 27 minutes. 27 minutes. So let's just take you through those. When you watch these goals, if you do go back and you can find this, you know, you see the fact of Bergamy coming through on goal. Like a libero, like a sprinting centre forward, and his finish is just, he knocks it past the goalkeeper. It's a really brilliant goal of defenders that you, it's almost a defender from yesteryear. And it really was superb. So then we've got to look a little bit further on and see what happens after that, because the next man to score is, of course, Lothar Matthäus. I mean, you could, if there's goals that are going to happen in an Inter game at this period, Lothar Matthäus was going to score a long ball in, a little header into the penalty box, and Matthäus scores what is a beautiful volley. As I think it's Klinsmann, is it? No, Serena who heads it down, and Matthäus volleys home from close range. Then, the most remarkable goal I've seen from, well, Pepe Baresi, on the right-hand side, under the Kuvernud, it's like a volley that comes out of nowhere, launches up, goes far towards the back post. The goalkeeper's completely lost this by this point, and it dips in. Honestly, go and watch that goal from Pepe Baresi. Incredible. Incredible that he's scoring goals like that. Our defenders have just scored two brilliant goals. And the lob, I don't know how... That must have been... it's ridiculous. It is absolutely ridiculous. Klinsmann then crosses it in. The ball gets flipped around. And all of a sudden, like I mentioned, Nicola Berti just flips in at that post and gets a goal. And you can see it's that celebration from him. Unfortunately, after that, yeah, you see the likes of Ferri. He scores an own goal. Very unfortunate. That comes on the 46th minute in the second half, which didn't dampen spirits by any means, because Inter obviously had such a great start to that, to the game. I think that, you know, you'd seen the fact that they were starting to press a little bit more, should we say, in the second half. I mean, Stromberg especially was making... I mean, Atalanta were physical that game. Stromberg in particular. And I think it was realistically the fact of when he released the ball to Kanija puts the ball across and Ferri has to slide in, has to try and stop the trajectory. But unfortunately, he puts it past Zenga. I think after this, you see Inter go, and this is where Trapattoni's teams were brilliant. You see Andy Bremer on the left-hand side, Klinsmann a problem, and they were really starting to come now. You see the same thing from Matthäus moments later. And, well... I just think that when you look at this next goal, it's beautiful. Aldo Serena, the way he just jinxed three players, and then he's almost one-on-one with the goalkeeper on 59 minutes. He just chips it in. So that was nowhere near it. And I think when you look at this point, Inter had appreciated they weren't going to hold on, obviously, to the Scudetto. You know, they were still... not as good probably as they were the season before, but they had the makings of it. And Klinsmann obviously then with two beautiful finishes, in the sense of they were just typical Klinsmann finishes where he sort of drags the ball out from underneath him, and with that sort of languid way he puts it past the goalkeeper, the ferocious shot, and then hits a penalty straight down the middle to make it 7. That was 7-1. Inter did concede what was an excellent free kick by Nicolini on the 73rd minute. There'd be no more goals after that. Inter would go off to a rapturous applause from what was a real present before the end of the season. The next game, ironically, it was a 1-1 draw with Cesena before 2-0 against Fiorentina. And the end of the season sort of petered out. But what a game that was. That was on the 25th of March, 1990. So a bit of a thought for way back when. So that really concludes our show today. I'm really glad you've been with us. Please, on Spotify, give us a rating, give us some comments. It always helps. It's really good when you can do that for us. And it obviously helps us move this show forward. I'm looking forward to doing obviously a couple more shows before I go out to the game against Cagliari, which of course we will be covering as well. Please tune in. We've got the International Corner coming up next week. I think it's April the 4th or the 5th. Please, obviously, on YouTube, have a look at that with the excellent Guy Lacota and myself. Yeah, that's another thing to please have a look in and share. And any questions you have for myself, for Guy on the International Corner, for me on the podcast, look me up at RichHall80 on Twitter and hit me up in the DMs. I'm always happy to take questions. I will happily give you a shout out on the podcast. So please ask if you want to see a certain game, if you want me to feature something, please let me know. Okay, from me, it's ciao for now. Forza Inter, let's go and win this league.